Okay, let's call the roll again. Chair Mariano is excused. Vice Chair Mello is excused. Ranking Member Alexander.
Here.
Representative Andrade.
Here.
Representative Arrington.
Here.
Representative Bell.
Here.
Representative Botana.
Here.
Representative Caruso.
Here.
Representative Fernandez-Barquin.
Here.
Representative Gottlieb is excused. Representative Harding.
Here.
Representative Mooney.
Here.
Representative Morales.
Present.
Representative Persons Malika.
Here.
Representative Plasencia.
Here.
Representative Salzman.
Here.
Representative Tant.
Here.
Representative Williams.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you, members. And by your presence, we have a quorum. Welcome back. I hope everyone had a great holiday, a great Christmas and New Year's. And I hope the beginning of session was great for everyone in the audience and members as well. We're going to go ahead and get right into the bills. Members, we have two bills on the agenda. First up, we have HB 6067 by Representative Fine, the William Boyd Fourth Effective Access to Student Education Grant Program EES. Representative Fine, you're recognized.
Thank you, members, and I will be brief. This is the simplest bill you will see in your time in the legislature. The bill literally deletes one word three times in our statute and would allow private universities to gain access if they meet the criteria to the EES program, which provides for financial aid to certain people going to university, and that is the bill.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? Representative Tant, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Fine, for bringing this bill, and thanks for entertaining my texts earlier today about it. Quick question. For those of us, like me, who are not familiar with the ABLE program and why it went away, can you give me some historical background on that? I don't know. So.
Sure. And I'm happy to share the answer to this question with the acting chair of this committee, because it was under his leadership that the ABLE program was eliminated, but I did occupy the job that he has now for the 2 years before that. The ABLE program was a similar program that provided access to scholarship funding to people who went to other schools, including for-profit schools. It was eliminated last session by a vote of the legislature.
Was there a reason for it? Was the program operationally okay? Like, why did we do away with it?
Well, I think everyone would have their own reasons. We all voted one way or the other.
I'm sure I voted in support.
Yeah, I'll tell you what my reasoning was and my concerns, particularly to this program, is I believe that when Chair Plasencia's committee attempted to sort of do some research with the participants in that program to talk about, you know, how it worked and how they were doing and what the criteria were and what the students were, I believe the participants in the program weren't even interested in responding to the informational request. So I believe the thought process was, if you're not interested in answering questions when you want money, maybe you shouldn't get the money.
Got it. Thank you.
And again, if he wants to chime in, he's the killer of the program. So.
It's okay.
That is perfectly fine. Representative Tant, did you have a follow-up?
I wanted to ask a second question, and that is in relation to, we texted about this, about keeping it tight. And we talked about whether or not we could at some point talk about making sure that the folks that were allowed in under this new provision could be very constrained, so we didn't open up a whole new ball of wax. So, and a level six SACS funding or something like that was what you and I texted about. So I don't know what the possibility of that is, but I'm really anxious to work with you on that. So I wanted to make that point and ask that question about the possibility of that.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To resolve your concern, there are only two private schools in the state of Florida that would be able to qualify under the program based on the accreditation standards that exist for EES. But not only would they have to meet the accreditation standards, but again, under the leadership of Chair Plasencia, standards were created for the institutions that are going to be in that program, or the process was created in order to do that, and these institutions would have to meet those standards as well. So there's no ability for some flood of schools to come in under this because of the level of accreditation that is required already.
Any more questions, Representative Tant? Representative Andrade, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair Plasencia.
Chair Fine, I apologize for not bringing this question up to you earlier, but given your background, I'm sure you'll be able to answer this question with ease. The question is more procedural, which is if the chair of the first committee of reference is sitting in temporarily and is also the chair of the second committee of reference, do you get a pass and go straight to the big education committee, or do you still have to go to the appropriations committee in the process?
Representative Williams, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep. Fine, we spoke about $115 million for the EASE program. According to a conversation I had with Mr. Mark Anthony, the two new schools that will be added is South College and also Florida National College. Will those two schools occur all the $115 million that it's talking about here?
You're recognized.
They will not. That is money that is funded today for the nonprofit schools that are in the program. I would say a couple things. First, these two schools might become eligible, but again, they will have to meet the criteria that the Florida legislature lays out in order to be eligible. For example, South College is new, and so they're going to have to take a few years before they can meet our criteria, before they would even be eligible to participate. The second thing I would say on this is we as a legislature determine the amount of money that's available for this program every year. So it's $114 million last year. The budget this coming year could be $200 million, it could be zero. So this is a program that has to be reappropriated every year. And so the amount of money that is appropriated for the program is wholly distinct from the number of entities that are allowed to participate in the program. And funding for this program has gone up and down over time.
Mr. Chair, follow-up?
You're recognized for a follow-up. Okay.
We just spoke about the two new colleges. Do we have a number of how many colleges that this would include?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are only two colleges that are in Florida that might be able to move into the program over time were this bill to pass. There's a bunch of colleges that are already, this program already exists. Those $114 million go to students who go to the University of Miami and Florida Tech in my and Chair Plasencia's county. And the HBCUs are schools, for example, where their students get to participate in these in general. And so that $114 million is going to those schools. It has nothing to do with the two schools, because that $114 million will be spent before this bill were to even become law anyway. So these two schools will have no ability to access those dollars. That's in this year's budget.
Okay. But the total amount of schools that this would include, do we have a number for that? You say a bunch. What is the number of schools that's included?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are two schools that might be able to migrate into the existing EASE program were this bill to become law. Two.
No.
Is your question how many are in it right now?
Yes.
I don't know the answer. It's around 20. I mean, someone else might know the answer, but it's a decent number. And like anything, a lot of the money goes, it doesn't go to every school equally. It's based on students. There's about 40,000 students. I don't remember exactly how many schools participate in that, but it's a meaningful number. Representative, Chair Plasencia may know the number.
Rep. Williams, there's 34 schools.
34. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
You're welcome. Members, any other questions? All right, we'll move on to public testimony. Up first, we have Janet Lamont representing herself. Ms. Lamont waves in opposition. We have Deborah Baker Ryan representing herself, also waving in opposition. We have Joanna Cobbs representing herself, also waving in opposition. We have Yolanda Russell, also representing herself, waving in opposition. We have Mark Anderson from South College.
I'll be brief, Chairman. Thank you. And want to just thank Chair Fine for doing what he's done. He didn't have to do this. We had some students that were unintentionally impacted by the repeal of the ABLE grant program last year who would have qualified for ABLE. But now they have nowhere else to go. Where else could they go? The only remaining program there was is the EASE grant program. There are only going to be two schools so far that we think will be eligible, but this is really about the students and repairing and restoring some access tuition for tuition assistance that they would have had had they qualified under ABLE. And by the way, the qualification for ABLE and for EASE are identical with respect to how students qualify, how institutions qualify. The only thing Chair Fine's bill does is remove the word that would have arbitrarily excluded these students from receiving tuition assistance from the only remaining grant program that they would be eligible for, and that is because they are enrolled in or are going to be enrolled in schools that pay taxes or a for-profit, but would have been eligible under the ABLE grant program. So we're trying to repair that. In our case, South College is a SACS Level 6 COC accredited institution. It's the highest level of accreditation you can have. Their focus is nursing, which is meeting a tremendous nursing need in Central Florida. So we're hoping that with this bill, we can put those students through the degree program and avoid incurring unnecessary student debt or worse, having them drop out. So we want to thank Chairman Fine and Chairman Plasencia. Thank you. We are strongly supportive of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Next, we have Chris Floyd representing ICUF. Thank you, Mr. Floyd. Members, is there any debate on the bill? Representative Alexander, you're recognized for debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll keep my comments succinct and brief. The essence of the bill today, I think, is technical in nature, and I'll be supporting it. However, I do believe that there is great room to look at the holistic nature of maybe other institutions that have a critical need that may not be a part of this current framework. What I don't want this to do is become a process of opening the floodgates of the have and have nots based off specific situations or circumstances. And so I want to make sure that the critical need and the standards associated with that need are the focus of conversations moving forward. Let me explain it a little bit better. I believe that in regards to institutions that may not fit within the framework of the current existing structure, that we may need to have a broader conversation with them. I believe that it is paramount that if they have concerns, that they come forth and express those concerns. I've never been a big fan of just waving in opposition. It's no offense. But I want to make sure that we understand holistically what the unintended consequences and what the intended consequences are. And if there is an opportunity to address workforce shortages in our state, if we feel there are responsible institutions that could operate within that framework, I would be open to that conversation. And the reason why I feel comfortable with that, because it's you, and it's you. And I can publicly say that I've been in numerous negotiations with both of you, and you've both been very open and objective of being solution-oriented. And so I want to encourage all of our colleges to come to the table and be a part of a discussion and not talk around the issue, but let's work towards a solution so that we can bring this in for a landing and help more students in a responsible way. So I'm looking forward to the conversation to see if we can improve it even more.
Members, anyone else in debate? Representative Williams, you're recognized for debate.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Chair Fine, Representative Fine, before I had the conversation with you, I was a no. For $115 million, it seemed like a lot because I was under the impression it was going to only be two schools. But after having the conversation with you, I understand it's not 34 schools, and that changed the dynamics of everything for me. When we speak about students, it's what's best for us as a whole, the state of Florida. And if we can help put children through schools, students through schools, and get the economy back on the right track, I think the money will be well worth it. My motto is invest today and save tomorrow. If we put it on the table now, we won't have to spend as much later. So I'll be up today.
Members, anyone else in debate? Representative Fine, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you. And just briefly, my door is always open. You know this, and I'm happy to meet with anyone who would like to talk about it. I probably would have been a no too, by the way, if it was $114 million for the two universities. So rest assured. I think the idea of the bill is to be student focused. I would tell you that I suspect almost no student knows whether the institution they go to is for profit or nonprofit. And a student choosing between Kaiser and South College is choosing between Kaiser and South College. They're not going, well, I'm going to go to Kaiser because it's nonprofit, or I'm going to go to South College because it's for profit. We want the student to make the right decision for them. That's what we care about. And so all this bill does really do is it eliminates the word nonprofit three times in the statute. Any profitable school has to meet the exact same criteria as the nonprofit. And as I told you, there are only two at present that even could possibly be able to do that. We do need more nurses. We need a whole lot more workers in this state. It's a good problem to have, and I think this bill will help address that problem in some small way. So with that, I ask for your favorable support.
Representative Fine having closed, Kirsten, please call the roll and announce the vote.
Representatives Alexander.
Yes.
Andrade.
Yes.
Arrington.
Yes.
Bell.
Yes.
Botana.
Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Fernandez-Barquin.
Yes.
Gottlieb is excused. Harding.
Yes.
Mariano is excused. Mello is excused. Mooney.
Yes.
Morales.
Yes.
Persons Malika.
Yes.
Salzman.
Yes.
Tant.
Yes.
Williams.
Yes.
Chair Placencia.
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays. The bill passes.
By your vote, HB 6067 is reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Fine. We will now take up HB 457 relating to St. Lucie County. Representative Trabolsi, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Ranking Member Alexander, and committee for allowing me to present HB 457, a local bill seeking approval of a public land conveyance from the Florida Board of Trustees of the Internal Improvement Trust Fund to the Indian River State College District Board of Trustees. Until 2012, Indian River State College and Florida Atlantic University shared a unique joint-use campus in Port St. Lucie. FAU ceased operations there in 2012, and IRSC worked with the state of Florida to maintain use of the facility and property. The property is approximately 50 acres and is home to 5 buildings and is considered non-conservative land. This bill would effectively transfer said property from the state of Florida to a political subdivision of the state of Florida governed by Florida statutes. This would be consistent with all other state colleges' land in Florida. Lastly, IRSC only intends to continue using the land for educational purposes and proposes consistent with the mission of the Florida college system. Should the college move to sell or dispose of the property, it may revert back to ownership with the Florida Board of Trustees of the Internal Improvement Trust Fund. And that is the bill.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? There's no public testimony either. Members, is there debate on this bill? Representative Trabolsi, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Waive close, Chair.
Representative Trabolsi, having waived close, Kirsten, please call the roll and announce the vote.
Representatives Alexander.
Yes.
Andrade.
Yes.
Arrington.
Yes.
Bell.
Yes.
Botana.
Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Fernandez-Barquin.
Yes.
Gottlieb is excused. Harding. Yes. Mariano is excused. Mello is excused. Mooney.
Yes.
Morales.
Yes.
Persons Malika.
Yes.
Salzman.
Yes.
Tant.
Yes.
Williams.
Yes.
Chair Placencia.
Yes. Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, HB 457 is reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Trabolsi.
Thank you.
Members, that concludes today's agenda. Seeing no other business before the subcommittee, Representative Caruso moves we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.